Good to be in the house of the Lord this day, amen. Everybody's going to be out busily, or maybe you're already done it. Has everybody completed their Thanksgiving menu? You ready to go with that? Okay, I'm excited about that time. I like Thanksgiving very much. And on the front of our bulletin, it is written Thanksgiving. And my sermon today is entitled Thanksgiving. Where it may appear as a noun, maybe a pronoun, in Thanksgiving, I mean to think of it more as a verb, as far as I think about it as an active verb, that it should be something that we are just not observing, but something that we are participating in. So I bring forward to you this day my thoughts on Thanksgiving. Interesting today, as Eric brought forth the Sunday school lesson, ontology and epistemology, thoughts on what is God. And at times when you think about some of those theological thoughts and issues, it can become a little bit dry. But when we began to think about the Spirit of God and what God is, being spirit, we began to find some excitement in that, because I believe the Spirit energizes us with those truths. And as Eric went into the completion of his message, he spoke about God being a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we were all excited to think about how to worship God in spirit and in truth. And so interesting how that dovetails with the word I'd like to bring forth this day about the truth of God. Let's open in a word of prayer. And Lord God, we do thank you for your love, Lord God. I pray that, again, you would open up our hearts to your truth. And we do give you thanksgiving. Lord God, I thank you this day for who you are and all that you've done in our lives, God. And I bless your holy name in Christ's name. Amen and amen. No one should really have to twist your arm to be grateful. Amen? But at times it feels like when you are preaching up here or other things, when we talk about being thankful, you feel like somebody's trying to coerce you into, I'm going to say this, or okay, I'll do this. But today, I pray that you would bring forth a feeling of being grateful from the heart. And maybe I am twisting your arm. But I'm giving you opportunity maybe to do that. At the end of the service, I had asked Jamie if he might bring up a microphone, and if anybody might want to share something that they are a bit grateful for, I would like to present some criteria with which I think you can do that in a very wonderful, warm, sincere way. If you have your Bibles and you open up your Bible to the Gospel of Luke, I'm reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, and I'm looking at verse 12, beginning at verse 12. So Luke 17, beginning at verse 12. Then he said unto his disciples, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. You know what a leper is, that thing with spots on it? It's like a cat. No, that's, sorry about that. 10 lepers. Obviously, it was some kind of a skin disorder. It even went deeper than that. It must have been a heinous disease. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Wow. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face and at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. I always say a Samaritan because the Jews were not supposed to have any association with them. And we also think about the parable that Christ used as the good Samaritan must have been in the face to the Jewish people because they didn't like the Samaritans. And Jesus answered, said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger? And he said to him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. The thing that strikes me is where were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Are there not found but this stranger that returns to give thanks unto God? And so with that in thought in mind, thinking about the leper that returned to give thanks to God, I would have us and I would have my own heart to be a heart that is filled with thanksgiving, not just a pronoun or a noun, but a verb, the one that is actively thanking God in all situations and everything that he has done. If we can thank God for temporal things and temporal blessings, we should be able to thank him for the eternal things that he has done as well. Amen? In fact, that is what we should thank him for primarily and first of all. And so I think about James 1:2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, when you fall into temptations, different temptations. This is the King James I was looking at. For we know that the testing of our faith produces patience, and let patience have its full effect, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. But the thought is, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I know you've heard this before. I've preached on these themes and topics before, but I ask you of a show of hands, how many here are ecstatically happy when they have a real tragedy or trial in their life? Was that a scratch, Rich, or Rick, or were you actually going for the race? I don't know. It doesn't seem like we really want to rejoice. And we really don't want to follow what the Bible does. Did I misread this? My brethren, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. When you fall into diverse temptations, when you have a flat tire on the throughway, when the worst things that could happen in your life happen, do you count it all joy? Oh, what is the Bible talking about? When it says, count it all joy, none of us really count it all joy, if we are truly honest. Because when something happens, we say, oh man, this is like Murphy's Law. If the worst thing can happen, it's going to happen to me. But why does the Bible say this? And why are you not joyful when you are falling into trials? Then you're disobeying the word. Then I'm disobeying the word if I am not counting it all joy. Well, I've come to the thought that the only way James can possibly make sense is when we understand 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. The only way I can make sense of count it all joy when you face various trials is when I consider this verse, which says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You say, well, it sounds like about the same thing. But that little preposition, that little word, in, is so very important. And the way I have understood it and the way I understand that is understood is this, that in is not necessarily for. Now, you may not necessarily praise God for the devastating thing that happened, but you certainly can praise God in the midst of it. And that is the only way I can make sense of James 1:2, when he says, count it all joy when you face various trials. I had that from a couple different versions, but it says in the King James, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But I think in the ESV. I think this is ESV. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Give thanks in the midst of all circumstances. While they are literally happening, you can still maintain a sense of joy even in the midst of your pain. Thanking God in all things. I am happy to see Louise Manny here today. If you don't know, a good friend of the church that was faithful coming here for years, Ruth Almeida, passed away this past week. And we will sorely miss her. As we remember her greeting so often, she would come up and say, Shalom. And she and Louise were fast friends, are fast friends. But as I talked with Louise, she was rejoicing in the midst of her sorrow of losing a good buddy. And she said, but I feel like I want to kick her because she got there before I did. And we rejoiced in that thought. We rejoiced in the truth of that, that though she is absent from her body, we believe that she is now present with the Lord. And for that reason, if you took the worst thing that possibly could happen to you, which would seem to be death, that you could give glory to God in the midst of that. I'll explain a little bit of that in a moment. We should rejoice and be thankful in all things, in God, who is and who will work out every trial. He will work it out to his glory. Who wants to see God glorified? And he said, and we have said it time and thousand, all things work together for good for them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. And even though there may be a trial or a tragedy or a devastation, God is not off wandering around somewhere, but he is in the midst of these situations. And he knows what is happening. And if God knows, even though I may have a bit of confusion and I don't necessarily know, I still know that God knows. And he is going to work it out. And I also want to praise God in the midst of a blessing. I want to thank God in the midst of the blessing. But I want to be very cautious when I am praising God, when I am praising God for a blessing, that I truly am praising God for the blessing and not just praising the blessing. And I think there's not even a fine line. There's a very definite line in that, that if you were to have some kind of a blessing that was not of God, then and you still said some kind of a traditional, I'm praising, oh, thank God for that. I've heard the most ungodly people say, thank God for that, when the least thing they mean is thank God. They said they would, if Satan gave them this, they would be praising Satan just as much. So I say be very cautious that you don't end up praising the blessing rather than the blesser. It is God who gives all things. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. It is God that gives all things. And that's who we should praise, not the blessing. I don't want to praise blessings. The Bible said, don't count it all joy when you face various blessings. Who has problems thanking God for blessings? Why we don't? People love to stand up and praise God for the blessing when something good has happened. But you never hear them coming up and I say, I thank God in the midst of this difficult time that God will work it out to his glory and I will see his name lifted up. Whoa! Wouldn't that be a strange church to come into where people began to follow the word and praise God in all things? Rejoicing in all things. Wow. Am I just one of those guys that wants to get it wherever I can get it and then colloquially say, thank God for that, when it's not God at all that I'm thinking about, but my own selfish self? We want to praise God. I want to praise God who will bring growth to my life in the midst of trials. Now, I don't know if I ever willingly jump into a trial. I don't think anybody wants to say, oh, come on, bring it on. I am never going to say that. But when I find myself in the midst of it, I'm going to say, God, work it to your glory. Work it out so your name can be lifted up and I can grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is why James 1, 2, 3, and 4 can make sense. Count it all joy when you face various trials, for you know that the testing of your faith produces patience. Patience who with? With God? With people? With myself? With everything. Patiently knowing that he who has worked it out before will work it out again, and he will never, never leave nor forsake you. And let patience have its perfect, full effect or complete effect, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. Why? The only way I can lack in nothing spiritually is when I am facing trials to give God the glory and to rejoice in it. Whoa, that is amazing. People always say, I want to grow in God. I want to grow so that I can rejoice in him. And I really don't feel God moving in my life. And so many things are happening adversely. Well, that's when you're supposed to give God the glory. When things happen adversely in your life, you give him glory. Then you begin to raise the verb thanksgiving to God. I thank him in all things. I'll thank my God. Though he should slay me, yet will I praise him. I'm going to thank God and be grateful. Give thanks with a grateful heart. I praise God for that. I want to give God glory for in the midst of the trial, as I said, it will work out to God's glory. Now, I thought about death, and each one here probably has been touched by death in their family, maybe your immediate family, and I'm thinking of Ruth having passed away, and others that have lost spouses, children, mothers and fathers and sisters, myself, and I don't praise God for death so much. I am not happy that somebody dies on one level. But on another level, I'm thinking about this. Death came through sin. Christ came and said Satan even holds the power of death. In Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are made partakers of flesh and blood, he also, this speaking of Jesus, likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. What does that mean, he had the power of death? Why, Satan introduced death by duping our ancestors, Adam and Eve, into believing a half-truth or a bold-faced lie. And so Satan was the instigator of that, which that first sin in the garden brought death into all the universe. Satan uses death as a fear tactic. Many people here are afraid to die. And I'll tell you, on a level, afraid to die, and I've mentioned this time and again, that I'm not afraid to die. I don't want to be eaten by a lion. I would just as soon have my head cut off because it seems like it'd be pretty quick. But the anticipation leading up to that might cause me fear. But that's not the kind of fear that is being spoken of here. In the context, the fear that is being spoken of were all those that were held bondage by the fear of death, meaning that they didn't know what they were going to face after they died. They didn't know what their life had been like. Had they made enough sacrifices? Had they truly followed what the Mosaic law had presented? And all these people, all through time, were held in the fear of the reprisals that they might face when they stood before the God of all creation in eternity. For me, that eternal question has been settled. Already my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know whom I believed. I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against the day of his return. When I go to Christ, he will say, "Welcome, thou good and faithful servant." That's how I have seen the fear of death erased from my life. I do not fear what lies beyond in eternity for me when I leave this body, for I will be with the Lord. And so the most heinous thing you could mention, maybe being death, is softened or erased as far as the fear by the knowledge that God is in control. The other thing that takes away, I almost rejoice in death on this level. I thank God that Christ died. Thank God Christ died, because that's the very reason he came to this earth. As we have partaken flesh and blood, so he has partaken flesh and blood, so that through his death we might have eternal life. If Jesus hadn't died, you would be in your sins. If he hadn't risen again, you wouldn't have no hope of eternal life. But because Christ died, we see the beauty of the resurrection. We see the beauty of our union with him. For as many believed, to them gave he power to become the sons of the living God. Because Christ died, thank God he died. Because there would be no resurrection had Christ not died. So I'm not so much thanking God for death, but the repercussions that come from that are that Christ died. He had to die. He had to become a human so that he could die for us. He was born to die. But the things that this has ushered in eternity, has given him an opportunity to go and prepare a place for us, that where he is, there we may be also, to take away the corruption of all of creation. Corruption will be ended because of Christ's death. There is a new kingdom, a new heaven and earth, because Christ died and rose again. Hallelujah! If that doesn't excite you, now that's something to get up and testify about. That Christ did it. His death did it. His death accomplished it. So I'm rejoicing in death, I think. Because Christ completed what needed to be completed. I just thank God for that, that he has ushered in a place in the new creation for us. And the death, this... I said this before, I think last week, but this mortal shall put on immortality. Isn't that an exciting thought? That I'm going to put on immortality? This only happens because of the death of Christ. And then going on, am I looking forward to my own death? Because the reason that I don't want to stay alive is so that I can be ushered into the new creation. And that I will have a body made like unto his glorious body. And many of you know this fact, that when Adam and Eve sinned, they were put out of the garden. And an angel stood there with a drawn flaming sword, blocking the way for them never to enter the garden again. Why? Lest they should go back into the garden, eat of the tree of life, and live forever in a corrupted body and with corrupted natures. It was planned for you to die after the fall, so that through death you might enter into that new life. Death should take on a whole new meaning to you. Death should take on the meaning that it is the ushering in of eternal life for you. It is the place where death will enter, bring you into the very presence of God, where he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And although I want to rejoice in the fact that there will be one day that I die, still, I have enjoyed this life. And as I know that my life is closer to the end than it is to the middle or the beginning, still, I rejoice that I am going to go and be with my Savior. I will see my mother, my father, my sister. I will see those that have gone before me. And those that come after me will see me with Jesus Christ. Now, isn't that wonderful? Now, I don't know if I've got you to the place of rejoicing that death is coming to you. But I want you to know there is a reason to rejoice, even when you are facing death, in the midst of that understanding, you can rejoice. Ruth is rejoicing right now in the presence of God. Now, I also think that besides being thankful thankful in the midst of the blessing, thankful in the midst of the trial, that you need to be also thankful for. And as I said before, it's easy for people to get up and start to tell about how they're so thankful for the blessings of life and they're thankful for this or that, thankful that God gave them this, thankful for God gave them that. But the number one thing you should be thankful for is what Jesus has done for you. Thank Him for the cross. Thank Him for the resurrection. Thank Him for the new heavens and the new earth. Thank Him for understanding the resurrection. Why, one of the greatest things, that happened to me was when I came to the realization, and I always call it a revelation, of what the resurrection really means and what it really is, that because He lives, I should live also, and that if He be not risen, I am yet in my sins, but I am not in my sins because He has risen. And so I rejoice in that because no other temporal earthly blessing could matter or compare with the fact that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life and that we will forever be with the Lord. What could compare with that? You got a new job, you got a new house, you got something given to you. Who cares when you compare that for what Christ gave you in laying down His life that you might have eternal life with Him? That is what we need to be thankful for. I thank God for the hope that I have. It's not a, gee, I hope so, but my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. I have a hope in eternal life, of eternal life. I have the hope of my family all coming to the Lord. And I thank God that God has called my family to Jesus Christ, and I'm looking forward to the time when Wesley will make an open profession and Elise will make an open profession of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and live for Him from that moment on. I'm thanking God that He has given me trust in God for ultimate deliverance in every aspect of my life, of your life, as we look to Jesus Christ. I thank Him for that and for the deliverance of our children into His hands. I have laid them in the arms of the Beloved. I thank God for Jesus' presence in my life. Don't you thank God for that? I thank God that I have been born again and I am now indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Do you realize the magnitude of that truth? That the Holy Ghost is in you that are born again? Wow. Wow. I'm like part of the divine nature. Again, I'm not trying to proclaim that I'm God. I'm not divine. But the Holy Spirit is in me of a truth. And I thank God that I have that kind of a unity with God. I thank God that we could come in prayer. And although I don't understand every ramification of that, but nevertheless, Christ said, come and pray. Come and bring your request with thanksgiving. With everything in prayer and prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. That's what God, I have that joy of praising God for those things that God has given us in that. The power of the Holy Spirit in our midst, I believe that we have only brushed the surface of being able to understand the magnitude of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in this congregation. And as we would yield to Him, you would see manifest in this congregation healings and fillings and deliverances and salvation on a scale that would make our heads spin. My dream, my heart's desire, Anybody know what the phrase the bucket list means? They had like a movie about the bucket list. You know what my bucket list consists of? I don't want to go any place. I don't want to do anything special. I want to see the power of the Holy Ghost fall upon this house, the people in this congregation. That's my bucket list. I want to see people come into this congregation, and we are so filled and moving in the power of the Holy Ghost that they run to the altar in tears and excitement, and there they repent before God, are filled with the Holy Ghost, and they go out of this house rejoicing before God, proclaiming the word of God in power. That's my bucket list. That's all I want. I want to see people rejoicing in the things of Jesus Christ. I pray that that would be number one on your bucket list, that you could see those things moving of God in a mighty way. And the question was asked today, how do we worship God in spirit? And I thought about, and I had written that down to speak about, how do we thank God? What is the process of thanking God? Why? It was sung in the song. In fact, I was going to sing that song, but Herman had it. Give thanks with a grateful. It's a heart thing. It's the things of the heart that we need to give thanks for. It comes from the heart. It comes from the spirit. It comes internally. Thanksgiving is not something that you can shake God on his hand or pat him in the back and say, oh, you did a nice job there. It's a heart that is just so overwhelmed by the glory of God and his sacrifice for you that all you can do is bring a praise to God Almighty from the heart. How can I thank God? Why, it's got to begin with my heart, with my attitude, with my inward self. And then it expresses itself in many ways. I thought it expressed itself primarily in however I express love, however that comes forth from me, however love is expressed, the love of God that is in me is expressed eternally, externally. Well, I was expressing my love of God as I sang in the songs this morning. As the worship was going on, I was looking to God and thanking him for who he is and what he has done for us all. I thanked him for salvation. I thanked him for his presence in my life. I thanked him for his coming again. I thanked him for the resurrection. I thanked him with a grateful heart for all his benefits and mercies in giving Jesus Christ. I thanked him. And so you can express your thanks to God in the heart, verbally, in song, or in affirmation. You can thank God in your giving. And I want to say, when I'm looking at these boxes, you have given. You've not paid God off. Don't think we're paying God off, and I'm sure you don't. And I'm seeing turkey baskets back there. And you have given so that others might be eased. As an expression that if you have been so freely given to, you want to give back in thanks to God for the unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ, the inconceivable, immortal, invisible, the only wise God has given you all things. And so you express that in giving love and in giving whatever you can to help alleviate somebody else's misery, on giving a good word of affirmation and giving the truth of Christ to somebody that doesn't know the Lord, or giving a word of assurance, or giving a word from God, from the Bible, to lift a person who has lost their way or is in the state of despondency. You want to be a giver. That would be the expression of the transformation of a heart that has felt the love of God. And so these three things struck me: being thankful in it, being thankful for it, and then expressing it in all that I do. Whatsoever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord, we have said so many times. I want to think it. I want to say it. I want to do it. I want to be thankful in those things. Thank God. Be thankful in Colossians 3:15. Give thanks in everything, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, Philippians 4:6. Sing with thanksgiving in your heart to God, Colossians 3:16. Blessing and glory and thanksgiving be to our God, Revelation 7:12. Come before him with thanksgiving, Psalm 95:2. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, Psalm 100, verse 4. Offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving, Psalm 50:14. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, Romans 7:25. Thanks be to God, 1 Corinthians 15:57. I want to praise him and thank him for everything he's done. If we only thank God for the blessings or for the deliverances that he has accomplished in our life, we miss the point of trusting in God in all things, of being thankful and rejoicing when trials come. We must be thankful. It's not the blessing. It's the God who gives the blessing that I want to be thankful for. When you stand and give thanks, don't recount the temporal blessings only, or even first, but thank God who saved you and is sustaining you by his presence. Then tell of some temporal blessing that he has done for you. When you think about what God has done for you eternally. I used to remember in one of the churches, at the church I met Lillian, that one of the lady piano player, she would stand up. I'd just like to thank God and Jesus Christ for all he have done for me. And she would have just a little speech, she said. Then she would say some thanksgiving that she had, usually quoting something from the Word of God, how it had lifted her up. But when you come to give testimony, stand and thank God because he shed his own blood for the remission of your sins. Thank him for his presence in your life and that he is moving in your life to sustain and protect you. Then thank him that you had money to pay the mortgage. Give God glory for who he is. But don't forget to thank him. Don't forget to be like the leper that came back and thanked God for healing him of his leprosy. But thank God first for who he is. Give thanks with a grateful heart to God. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what he's done for me. Give thanks. Michael, could you come on up here? And I want you to think about something that you can give thanks to God for. And I know we have some people that are more courageous to come up and say what God has done for them. And if that be you, then I encourage you to do that. If not, you can say thank you in their heart. This is what I want to thank God for. This is my thanksgiving. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid. Bearing all my sin and shame, in love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hand. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know.
forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Crown him now with many crowns. Reign victorious, high and lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven, crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.
Thank you, O worthy Lord.